This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon KFTK and Instagram at Mark Talk. You're listening to the Mark Reardon Show.
Friday afternoon, a lot to cover here in the next 2 hours. We do have a Friday edition of Sue's News coming up here, and Jane is off today, so she didn't join us for the roundtable. So it's Fred and Sue and I, Michael Langston, helping out with the producing. We've got Ethan back on Monday from his, he was on his honeymoon. We haven't really mentioned that, but he'll be
That's
back
right.
next week. And then Fred and I are gone, so the first time we're all back together again will be, I think, the Monday after Thanksgiving. Am I, if I keep right. track of the days correctly?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, I love that you two are gone. Hate it.
Fred, are you leaving? You leave Sunday?
Sunday morning.
So let me ask the question, because one of the things we're doing this weekend, my kids are coming into town Sunday and Monday, but we're doing all the Christmas stuff like this weekend. I actually started pulling some of it out last weekend, but we had deer camp, so we didn't put up. But will you do anything? Will Marie, I shouldn't say you.
No.
Will Marie
you
do
thinking?
Anything for Christmas, Fred?
The boys are coming home for Christmas.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So we can save that till Christmas.
But you won't actually, will you decorate and do all that stuff like now or after Thanksgiving?
It's done already.
Oh, it's already.
So
when
we come home, it's ready to go.
That's what I kind of thought. I thought maybe it would be the case. I like decorating for Christmas, though, and every year, I like to go out and get a couple of new, little new decorations or something like that. Maybe the couple of days after Christmas when the sales are on, Sue. That's what I do.
Look
to go shopping.
You.
I know, right?
My neighbors really made me look bad this year. They've got holiday decorations everywhere in their front yard.
Wow.
And we have like one single strand.
I am a little concerned about my emotional support bunny during Christmas because he likes to chew on things and, there's a tree that's going to be in the house and a lot of lighting and stuff like that.
I have a question. Does bitter apple that you use for puppies work for rabbits? You could spray the cords.
That's a good question. Because here's what I've tried a little bit. Remember on my armadillo situation,
yes.
when the armadillos were coming out of the woods and they were going to the neighborhoods in my neighborhood that had irrigation systems because it was so dry. They did this the past few summers. I had a guy that came over and said, cayenne pepper. So my bunny goes a couple of places where I don't like him. Like he goes to the fireplace and he tries to dig out the fake stuff that's in the fire of a gas fireplace. And I don't want him doing that. I also don't want him setting himself on fire. So I sprayed cayenne pepper near the fireplace. Becky said he was just sniffing all around that. Didn't seem to bother him at all last night.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I think I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
But maybe not, because anything that has just a little sugar in it, he goes crazy. So bitter apple would still be sweet.
Sue, did you see the picture, the video that Mark sent of Oreo? Mark's got
drinking
this new
my Crystal
phone.
Light.
Mark,
oh,
well, no,
the,
Mark's
the
got
slow-mo.
This new phone, so he's shooting like great slow-mo.
Oh no!
And explain what you
well,
shot.
Well, they do this thing they call the binky. When they're super happy, they binky.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a weird name, but I literally, and I'm going to get a better one, Fred. I literally got him doing like a half spin in the air. The Russian judge gave it a 9 out of 10. I know that, but he's very impressive. When he gets happy, he just starts. They do this thing, and you almost have to have it in slow-mo because I've showed you what they
I
do
have seen it.
In fast motion. It's too fast. They get crazy.
It's like the bunny zoomies.
Is it that is. That's exactly what it
yeah.
is. Right. So it's very entertaining. So then the other thing that came up I was going to share with my daughter, because I've tried to be a better parent, team, and it's tough, okay? And I've got the older kids. I've failed miserably on them, probably. But there's way too much screen time, and there's not enough play outside, do this other stuff. So one of the things that's been frustrating is her room becomes a disaster, right? All kids' rooms become
sure.
a disaster. So new rule. This is the rule for last Monday. You should have instituted this a long time ago. Get home from school.
Uh-huh.
There's no iPad. There's no playing. There's not until you do your room and the bunny hutch downstairs. I need some help with the litter downstairs.
That's
so those
good.
Are the two things. So what I had forgotten, it is good, right?
What do you give it, 2 days, Fred? What you make a, okay.
Well, the first two, Monday, Tuesday,
yeah.
we had a little learning curve. And then on Wednesday, this is where it got controversial. I said, wait a second. It's not just going to be your room and the bunny hutch. It's going to be your room and the bathroom. And she goes, no, I didn't swear to that. We need to re-swear. I'm like, re-swear? What is that? There's no swearing. I'm your father, and you're the person who's going to do what I tell you to do. No, that wasn't part of the deal. We're going to have to... She's trying to renegotiate the parenting cleaning deal because she swore to do one thing, and then she's got a re... What's the re-swearing thing? Lost me. I didn't realize
that. You made her swear to begin with?
Wow. Yeah, I guess so.
I kind of get it. I mean, you told her one thing, and then you went back and tried
to
change
it. That's what she says.
Yeah. You're going to have to stick with the original, I think, for a while.
Is this contract law just like Jussie Smollett?
I think so.
I think it is.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
I hope, you know what, Sue?
Yeah.
If my daughter's listening right now, I'm going to be so mad because you just gave her that idea.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's the wrong one, too. And look, I was so distracted, I didn't play the right one.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I mean,
Dave Klein just texted me.
What did he say?
He goes, you're breaking your contract.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So I'm just saying, I understand from whence she cometh. That's all.
Well, I didn't think I was going to lose this one, and I've lost it.
Okay, on this day in history, I didn't realize this till this morning, that it was 61 years ago today that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. It has been 61 years. Part of what Trump has promised was to open up all those files, and we'll see if that happens. Because that would be really interesting.
It would be.
Yeah, I think they should as well. And this has music, Mark. 56 years ago today, in 1968, the Beatles released the White Album. It was their ninth.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Kind of had let that play through, didn't we?
Yeah.
There's like a there's a new documentary, Beatles documentary, that's going to be on Disney called Beatles 64.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, they did the other documentary, which was really great. This is about the first visit to America, and it's going to start streaming next week on November 29th. So there's a little Beatles news for you there.
Oh, that's cool.
We can talk about that with Tim Summer. Our music guy is going to join us in the next hour. That's another cool topic to talk about, I think.
Oh, that's a really cool thing. The website Hello Millions, Fred found this story, did a study to determine the most popular cuisines in each state according to their Google search popularity. Now, the average number of monthly Google searches over the past 12 months, that's essentially what they did. In Missouri, Mark Reardon, what would you guess to be the number one style of food that we like? Now, is it Mexican? Is it Indian? That kind of thing.
I mean, can I say barbecue?
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, but that's not it.
The answer is Chinese. Now, I have had Chinese food in the last couple weeks, but would you put that at number one for Missouri?
No.
I don't think I would,
These
Fred.
Lists are always weird.
They are. Number two is Mexican. Okay. Number three is Indian. Number four, Italian. Maybe we're thinking too St. Louis. Maybe St. Louis is more Italian.
We're way upside down. No, there's no way that India... If you would poll people across the state of Missouri, there is not a chance in hell that Indian food, which I love, by the way, don't get me wrong at all, would rank higher than Italian food.
I can't imagine. But, you know, chicken tikka masala, we get that butter chicken, the vindaloo. I do love the vindaloo. But I just didn't think everybody loved that much. And number five is one that I'm really currently into, which is Thai. I love the Thai food.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah, oh, that's number five. I think that has taken over as Chinese.
Okay, but what's your go-to place right now for Thai?
Well, I have several.
Okay.
Thai Rasha.
Okay.
I like that down south, but it's closed for some reason right now, and I can't figure out why. Zen Thai is good in the county. What about you?
I don't have any right now.
Oh, you don't?
But
Zen Thai down the street on Washington is good.
Oh, I have been there. That place is pretty good.
Mine is in South County Mall. It serves Thai chicken. I don't even know the name of the place.
Huh?
But it's legendary in my mind.
In other news, South County Mall is still open.
What? I knew the mall was open, but it's someplace where you get Thai. Is it a Thai fast food?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, sometimes those are really good, though.
Yeah. Okay. This was a crazy story. Passengers on a recent flight had to hold down and duct tape a man who allegedly was trying to open the door of a plane mid-flight during a trip to Dallas this week. And we've got one of the passengers talking about apprehending him. Mark's got it.
There was no time. He was 2 feet from the door. It was just chaos. He was going for the door. And so I just grabbed the guy from behind and kept him from pulling the thing on the door. You know, we were on our knees holding him down.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts? I didn't hear that story at all.
I didn't either.
And who had the duct tape?
Well, that's actually a good question. We've heard there have been stories like
yes.
that before, and we've seen some videos, but that I didn't hear about this week.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I just thought
but
that
you
was
know,
nuts.
That's a great question, Sue. Who does have the duct tape?
Yeah,
always good to have some on a flight, I guess.
Yeah. If you want to get arrested for something, well, he bought the duct tape. It's always the first thing they show on Dateline.
That's a good point. Keith Morrison, duct tape.
Yeah, that's right. In science news this week, a team in Switzerland may have finally answered the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? A single-celled organism from a billion years ago already had similar characteristics to embryos, and it suggests the ability to make eggs was around long before the chickens. So the egg officially came first, or so science says this week. Fred, you look skeptical.
I am, because I'm a person of faith. I'd go the other way.
You say the chicken first? Why could God not make an egg first? Why does that make a difference?
Know.
Okay. Well, that was a good defense.
I didn't hear that in Genesis.
Okay.
I'm going to abstain from this one.
And tomorrow marks the 100th anniversary of when we learned the universe was bigger than just our own galaxy. That was when the New York Times published an article. In 1924, after Edwin Hubble realized Andromeda was a whole another galaxy, we eventually learned that there are billions of galaxies out there.
They should name a telescope after that guy because
he was
responsible for something very special.
And in food news, British scientists created the world's thinnest spaghetti. They say it's much thinner than angel hair. That's pretty thin. I don't know why.
Yeah, why?
372 nanometers wide means 200 times thinner than a human hair. Why, people? I don't know. It's so thin you could barely see it. They call it the invisible pasta. It must take, like, no time to cook, either. I don't really understand that.
It's probably really expensive.
Though. Probably. And a Christmas tree farm in North Carolina was left devastated after Hurricane Helene, and it destroyed about 800. That's not true. 80,000 Christmas trees. And we've got Graham Avery of Avery Farms talking about the total destruction. It's really sad.
You can do simple math, and then, you know, if we had 60 to 80,000 trees that we've lost, and they're $30 to $55 wholesale, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of money. It's gone. And it's going to be a tremendous amount of money to strip all this land back down to dirt and start all over. So it's millions of dollars, and it's many years. So it's just awful.
I sent Fred a story, and, you know, I like the Fraser fir. The Fraser fir is my – but there was a damage. Not only did the hurricane take a lot of trees just out because of the high winds, but because they were in a drought condition out there – this is how I remember it. I don't have the story in front of me. And then they had all that rain at the same time. They had root rot or something along those lines. So even the trees that didn't get pulled out of the ground and stuff like that, there's a big issue. So my expectation would be, and I don't think Fraser firs only come from North Carolina, but the prices are going to be even steeper this year. And they just don't think there's a lot of, this is going to affect, you know, subsequent years as well.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And that's unfortunate. Plus, he sounded like a nice man. I hate for that to happen.
You know, we bought this Fraser fir at this lot 2 years ago on Manchester Road. And it was not cheap, but it was the best tree. And we got it early. And it lasted through, you know, all of December.
That.
You know, it was sucking water the whole time. Went to the same place last year and spent a lot of money on a Fraser fir. It just sucked. It wasn't a good tree.
You never know, do you?
So that was disappointing because I was willing to pay for the nicer tree if it was going to, you know, result in the same level of moisture. But so I don't even know how to trust that anymore. Fake tree, I guess that's the answer.
You know that Ted Drews sells them, and they get theirs from Canada. And they used to, I learned this on History of the Lou with Sue. In Canada, they used to own a bunch of land up there, and they owned the Christmas tree farms and would bring them down, and they had to sell them during COVID because you couldn't get back and forth across the border. But they still have the same farmers up there who grow them. So I guess my point is the ones grown in Canada should be fine. But North
I'll keep
Carolina,
you posted because I think we're going to get the tree here in the next 5 days or so.
Okay. Fred, I feel like you've checked out. You're already in the Cayman Islands. Is that true?
No. Okay. No, not at all. I have so much left to do.
And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Oh, I've got so many. Okay, here we go. Flounder, halibut, and sole all have both eyes on the same side of their head.
Yeah, why is that?
Yeah. That's just weird.
Flounder,
though, isn't it?
Halibut, and sole all have both eyes on the same side of their head. I have never caught any of these fish. So
I don't think
I
knew that, and I don't think I like it very much at all.
Well,
that's just
all right.
That's weird, Sue. Uh-huh. But many times random facts are weird. We have Paul Hall on entertainment. Wicked opens. Gladiator 2 opens. A lot more. He's coming up next. Friday afternoon, we have Matt Pauly pinch hitting for Cusimano because he is off this week. Good for him. I'm going to be off all of next week. We have Paul Hall from Common Guy Films on entertainment. Mr. Hall, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I did not see Wicked as I promised over the weekend because I sent my wife with my daughter because I found out it was a 2-hour and 40-minute movie, but they absolutely loved it. So you want to start there? Let's start there.
Are people born wicked? Or do they have wickedness thrust upon them? Ah! You're green.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of the stage show. I've seen it 3 times, 1 time in Vegas, 2 times here in St. Louis. I love the music. Our friend Norbert Leo Butts, whose brother is a regular on my show. Norbert, 2-time Tony Award winner, was the original Fierro. And the girls, my wife and daughter, they loved it, Paul. So what do you say?
Well, I have to defer to them because since I thought you were going to handle Wicked, I went and saw Gladiator 2 instead because, well, that's me. I'm a Gladiator 2 guy. I had to choose. So I chose one or the other. Now, what I am hearing about Wicked from those that I do trust, all good things. It is one of those things that it is the part one, as we mentioned, we talked about a little bit last week. However, they don't want us to say that. They just want us to tell you it's Wicked, even though I think the opening title screen tells you what it is. It is doing bang-up business. There was a lot of people in the theater last night that I was in going out to it, and they're all coming out with smiles on their faces. This should be a good smash hit and a great start to the holiday box office by any means, with Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo leading the way alongside Jeff Goldblum. I think it's one of those that is going to be full at theaters for a little while now.
Well, you know, I was kind of, we were looking at some movie times because we were thinking about going to see Red One, and as you get Wicked and Gladiator 2 and then Moana next week, there's not going to be much room on any of these screens for anything else after a week, is there?
No, in fact, that's the thing. Even Gladiator 2, the only way you could see it on the bigger screen was at a later show because Wicked took all the other showtimes, including on the bigger screens, multiple showings, and they're getting the people in for it. So it's not just because it's one of those things that people are showing up. And you're right, Moana 2 is going to grab a lot of this, a lot of the showtimes, a lot of the screens. And there's more coming all Christmas season long. So I think it's going to be an interesting ride to see how much they can hold on and then when they transition to other formats, whether it's on demand or a digital pay-per-view, you know, that type of thing. It's going to be a real interesting the way they play this. And this is one of the first seasons like this since COVID where there's going to be so many big titles at the same time. They're going to have to all find bandwidth somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's right. But you did see Gladiator?
I did see Gladiator,
let's
too.
Talk about that.
Whose head could I give you that would satisfy this fury?
The entire Roman armies.
Too much.
The general will do.
I guess maybe the first question would be, you don't really have had to have seen the first one or go back and watch that from, what, 30 years ago at this point, right?
Well, you do have some flashbacks here to that original one, and there are characters from that original one, including Connie Nielsen as Lucilla. She's back alongside to kind of lead the way. This is the story of a man who is mysteriously on scene, played by Paul Mescal, who is Lucius. Now, Lucius has a past, but it isn't until you get halfway through the movie that you really figure out what his past entitles. But taken from his village by the Roman army, he ends up in the ring as a gladiator and one of the best there ever was. He's under the control of Denzel Washington, and we've got great characters alongside, very showy characters, including the twin emperors that are leading the Roman forces at this time. And it really is, it's more of an action film, I think, than any of the rest. It's kind of a minimal story-wise. I felt a little let down by the way the story was put on the screen and the way it developed on screen. That said, it is big, it's bold, it's loud, and it does harken back to some of the good things that Gladiator was when that originally came out. I like the first one a whole lot better, but Gladiator 2 is a continuation of the journey if you want to see more of the fall or the rise of Rome, however that may be in the course of the film.
Would you ever go see Gladiator 2?
I don't think so,
really?
But I have to tell you, I did not see the first one either. So I'm a weirdo.
Well, it's been, I mean, I don't even know. I was thinking about going back and watching it. Not that it really matters, but maybe if there is some crossover. Right now, it looks like Gladiator 2 is 72% on Rotten Tomato, and that's pretty good,
that's
Rotten
pretty
Tomatoes.
Good.
If you're in the, you know, obviously if you're in the 60s or below, not as good, but 72, a lot of movies don't even come close to that. But then Wicked's at 90%, so pretty rave reviews for Wicked. But the other thing that people need to know about Wicked, and I guess I didn't realize this at first, is it's two parts. So it's 2 hours and 40 minutes for the first part, and we ain't going to get the second part till next Thanksgiving. Is that what they're saying? Next Thanksgiving, Paul?
Yeah, next Thanksgiving, next Christmas, right in that the holiday season next year, you'll see part two. And I'm sure you'll see Together. I've also heard rumors that you'll see a re-release later towards Christmas of this one. That's more of in a sing-along type of format with lyrics and that type of stuff. So they're going to milk this one for a lot before it's all said and done. We'll have to see where it ends up. And I'm assuming next year you'll have the two of them back-to-back on a double feature as well. So it's going to be around for a while.
I guess so.
I'm
a fan, but wow, that seems like a lot. All right, what else you got this weekend?
Don't mistake and hit up the website. Of course, you heard the mistake with the toys, having the wrong website printed on the boxes. there is a site that is not Wicked the Movie. It is a distributor of adult content, so you just be careful if you're looking for it online.
How did that happen?
Oh,
that was
gosh.
On, like, Mattel screwed that up, right?
Yep. Yeah, and it's very easy to do. I mean, it's like back in the day when whitehouse.com and whitehouse.gov was a thing. And, you know, somebody adventurous. In this case, the adult site has been around for years. I mean, that's nothing new. So somebody should have picked up on the fact that, you know, that's not where you're going, especially when you print. I look when I post something on Twitter that I'm not sending someone to a bad place.
Well, that's probably
you know?
A good idea. Yeah, exactly. All right, what else you got for us? Any streaming TV?
Yeah, let's give you a couple of on-demand titles to check out briefly. Empire Waste, which is one I really liked, and the real person that you'll know a lot of here is Rainn Wilson, is plays the dad here to this young woman, Lenore. Mia Kaplan is phenomenal here. She's a girl in school that just doesn't fit in anywhere. She's a little larger and just gets picked on ruthlessly by the kids until she meets up with another girl named Kayla, who played just brilliantly as well by Jemima Yavu. And the two of them decide to get together, and Mia's got some talents that nobody knows about because she's the outcast. It kind of rises up for anyone who has had issues fitting in school from different ways. Rainn Wilson is great in that he takes the back seat to everybody else and lets the two lead girls go their way. Missy Pyle's here as well. This is an inspirational little story. It's something that anyone who's never ever not fit in is going to enjoy. Empire Waste is available on demand, so you would buy this on demand at your home for a decent rate. Also on demand is Whiteout. This one I can't recommend a whole lot. It's the story of some people who break out of a Russian labor camp and try to go and survive in the wilderness and against each other in the wilderness and the people's hunting them down. So you've seen this story before. It's nothing special. That's also on demand as well. Now go to your streaming service. I got to mention Surveilled over on Max. Max, this is Ronan Farrow's look at kind of how much you are tracked by government agencies across the way. Let's be honest. We all know there's people tracking everything we do everywhere. And in this case, you see how deeply that goes and how it goes within the government. It's a quick hour-long documentary. It started on Max a couple days ago, and I found it fascinating just how deep government interference in everyone's life goes. It's definitely worth the watch for the quick hour.
So you wanted to weigh in on last week's big entertainment fiasco, the fight on Netflix with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, because did you stay up and try to watch it, or did you watch it?
I watched 3 hours of it, Mark, and that was only the last two fights, because it just lasted forever and ever and ever. And quite frankly, if you've read any of the interesting stories online about the buffering issues, that's how I started my experience with it. I came in late to the game, and I thought, okay, it's going to be time now for Tyson and Paul to go, and I could see with the fights. Well, no, I get streaming things buffering along. Then I saw the female fight that led up to that, which was actually a very good
really
fight.
Good. It was Mark really good.
Mark loved that. Yeah.
Fabulous fight. And then Tyson came in the ring, and Jake Paul came in there. Oh, we didn't mention the scene of the interview of Tyson's son with his dad there and turning around and giving us a full-on moon.
I missed that part.
Oh, no, they talked about it.
You're lucky. Yeah, you're lucky. But 3 hours of my life I'm never going to get back, and I only watched, like I said, the last last half of it. It just lasted forever. I found it unique. As it's buffering, they're interviewing Jerry Jones about the NFL coming there on Christmas Day. Can you imagine, Mark, you're watching Christmas Day football starts buffering like that on you?
My sense is they're going to have that fixed, and I think the NFL is going to insist upon it. But, you know, and I told the story earlier in the week, Paul. I was in Howard County, Missouri, where I was deer hunting, and we were using a hotspot just to get Netflix. So when it was doing all the buffering, we thought it was just our hotspot. Now, I don't think the hotspot was helping us, but it was a combo deal, and it was really bad. So we'll hope that they improve upon all that.
And they've done other live stuff that's been not a problem. So I think this one just generated so much interest. It was sad to see Mike Tyson go out and do what he did. And I believe all the people who believe there's a little conspiracy that he knew after he landed a good one early on that he probably can't do that if he wants to get paid.
Because
it wouldn't do any good if he knocked him out in the first round. But
have you seen Moana yet or not?
I have not yet. I've seen a lot of the toys coming across my desk lately that it just... They just don't stop. It's going to be another huge event. I don't know how it's going to go in comparison to Wicked. It's a different crowd, I think, and I think that will help it out a lot. So we'll see.
Younger, younger kids, for sure, from Wanda. Look, I loved the first one, and I'm curious about this one because we were big fans. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
It's simple, commonguy.com, and I can give you a breaking news. We talked last week about the Day of the Jackal about a half hour ago. They renewed that for a season two on Peacock. So
there you go.
Catch up with it.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Mr. Hall. We're off next week, so you get the Friday off as well.
I will be eating turkey.
Paid holiday, though. We'll pay you still. Don't worry about that.
All right. I'll watch the box.
Matt Pauly in for Cusimano, who's off on this Friday, coming up next.
The Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Cusimano's off on this Friday afternoon. We have pinch hitting for us this afternoon, even though I misidentified him earlier. It is the one, the only Scott Werman with us from, and I got to get this right, FanDuel Sports Midwest. How are you, Mr. Scott Werman?
I'm not Matt Pauly. I am Scott Werman from FanDuel Sports Network. I keep drilling that FanDuel Sports Network into my head.
I had Pauly on Monday, so that's my confusion.
We
split the duties.
Where's Cusimano at?
Well, I don't know. He's taking a little time off, you know, TV star that he is, right?
Gee, I'll tell you what, must be nice.
Hey, did the Blues actually win last night?
They did.
That's good,
took
though, right?
A shootout, but hey, they won. They needed it because... they play a lot of road games coming up. In fact, seven of the next eight will be away from the Enterprise Center. And I guess one of the good positive things we saw this week from the hockey team was the fact of getting Robert Thomas into the lineup. I think it's a big boost. You can tell, and again, you and I talked about this before, Mark, is the fact that this is a transition period, but also transition period where you think maybe you can nab one of those last two maybe playoff spots. But when you lose a guy like Robert Thomas, it really shows, I think, how much he means to the team. And I think, for the most part, the lack of depth that this team has at the center position right now. And I know coming in the wing sometime, he's with the Springfield team in the AHL and Dalibor Dvorsky. And this is their one of their top prospects that they're very high on that's essentially going to be the number two center. But right now, he was just kind of a mix and match of who was going to play center while Robert was out. So that's a positive sign. I guess the other positive, Mark, is the fact that Philip Broberg is one of those guys that they acquired with the restricted free agency from Edmonton back in August. And he started out like a house of fire, caught a knee, looked like what you could first tell was like, oh my gosh, you might lose this guy for the rest of the year. Thank goodness, 6 to 8 weeks, but he's already skating. And I know he's going to travel with the team. Maybe by the time we get past Thanksgiving and the lone game the Blues have at home for the next couple of weeks will be against the Philadelphia Flyers a week from Saturday. Maybe, possibly, Broberg can be in the lineup because there's no question he was your best defenseman. So you lost two of your better players for an extended period of time. Now maybe you can flip the switch here and start winning some games.
So I was just kind of trying to tool over the standings here to see where the Winnipeg Jets were. They've lost three games. They've just lost three. Yeah. I guess the Wild has only lost three games as well, right?
Yeah, Minnesota's played very well, yes. I know that Winnipeg is a good hockey team. I still think that they're going to come back down to earth. I mean, look at Nashville. And those that don't know, they went out and they got Steven Stamkos. They got Jonathan Marchessault. I mean, they spent some money in the offseason, Mark, and it hasn't panned out to this point because this is a team that a lot of people are talking, you know, if they don't get first, maybe second in the Central Division. Colorado's gotten off to a slower start, but we know that they're very talented. Dallas is also a very good team. This is a very, very good division. And Winnipeg obviously has been one of the talks of the entire NHL for the first almost 2 months of the regular season. But I still think they're good, but I think they're playing a little bit above what they're capable of. But yes, Winnipeg has just gotten off to one of the hotter starts we've seen in a long time.
Can I ask a stupid question? Because I'm really good at asking stupid hockey questions. But as I peruse the standings here, and I'm looking at the Western, it says, you know, the Jets, the Wild, the Stars, the Avalanche, the Blues. And then it says Hockey Club. And then it says Black Hawks and Predators. Who is Hockey Club? What am I missing?
Utah.
There? Oh, that's so
the Utah Hockey Club.
That they just call themselves the Hockey Club?
Yep.
How did I not know that? Sue, did you know that?
I heard it recently.
Okay.
But I was not strong in my knowledge, if that helps.
I don't feel so bad. I did not know that.
Help them out, Sue, like always.
I know. Well, I mean, I will admit, while I enjoy watching the games, hockey's not, you know, something I know
a lot about.
You could lock me in a room and ask me to explain line changes and I'd never get out.
So it's interesting because I know when Utah was originally the Arizona Coyotes and they made the move that they had this public thing going to, hey, name the nickname of the team. And they just went kind of via, you know, soccer is always
right.
Like, you know, City SC, FC, blah, blah, blah. And this is what they've decided, which I kind of think is kind of interesting to say the least.
Interesting is a good word
for it. Maybe it changes.
Yeah. Any thoughts about Mizzou tomorrow?
I think, real quick story. I went to the Oklahoma game, and it was honestly, Mark, the first time I've been to Mizzou in almost 10 years.
So
just going through downtown and the campus and then going to
Stadium
Field was like, oh, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. In fact, me and my buddy, we left after the fumble recovery for a touchdown with 2 minutes left, thinking, they're going to lose this game. And obviously we know that they came back and won. I think the biggest difference you're going to see is, and we saw it last week, unfortunately, a tough, tough loss. But Brady Cook definitely makes a difference at the quarterback position, even though we know that Brady is not at 100%. I know he's likely to play tomorrow, which I think is huge. Mississippi State is a team that's down this year. So maybe you can rack up some points in the first half or so and give him a little bit of breather and get ready for that last game at home for senior day with Brady Cook and against the Arkansas Razorbacks. But there's no question. I remember, and you, I think you remember, I used to do the Rams broadcast when they were years ago. And Jim Thomas and I were standing there talking to Mark Bolger, and this is kind of when the Rams were kind of starting to really go down their slides. It was like 07, 08. And Mark always said, he's like, look, you know, I've done this for a long time. He said, you know, when things go good, the quarterback is, you know, like the king. He goes, I think quarterbacks, while it's an important position, I think they get too much of a pat on the back when things go well, but I think they get too much dirt kicked in their face when things go bad. And point being is there's more than just the quarterback for a team, especially from an offensive standpoint. With all that being said, I think there is a definite change when you see Brady Cook on the field and you don't see him off the field.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know why this other kid went to Notre Dame and Arizona State, and you think he'd be all right. But, I mean, they just have no efficiency at all when he's under center. The other big part, I think, last week that also helped the offense was that Nate Noel was in the backfield. I like how that kid runs, man. He just runs north and gets after it.
Well, that's the irony, too, because we thought that the run game would be, that was going into the season, the thing I think this Brady Cook was most concerned about after last year. And, you know, that's been pretty solid. I'd like for them, even though we're out of the CFP, I'd like for them to finish strong. And you could really have a fun game. Arkansas is a decent team closing out next weekend, but you got to win tomorrow. And I'm planning on heading up on Saturday. And then, you know, you see what happens. I saw some rumblings. I think someone in the Post today was talking about maybe a KU or an Illinois bowl matchup, which would be kind of fun for a rivalry, right?
Yeah, I think it would be awesome. You know, I think we're going to start playing both those teams interchangeably with the new schedules that are going to come out non-conference-wise, which I think, honestly, Mark, even if the Tigers were healthy and they would have close to run the table, I think because of their weak non-conference schedule, I think Tiger fans would have been upset because they potentially could have been on the outside looking in if they were in that playoff hunt, because I don't think their non-conference schedule is very strong.
My guess is we would have been.
Yeah,
the one thing that propped that up is that Boston College ended up doing a little bit better maybe than we expected, and then Vanderbilt, of course, the strength of schedule improved as we went along. But look, I think you're probably right about that.
That's in conference.
Yeah.
I'm talking non-conference.
Yeah,
you've got to get strength up that non-conference schedule.
Warman, thank you so much. You have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Mark and Susan.
All right, we'll talk soon. Keep on rocking me, babe.
Get more at 971talk.com.